You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 349, entitled Spring is in the Air. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week. And, of course, for those questions, the comments, the feedback that you guys send through each and every week, I really do appreciate the time that it takes for you guys to do things like that. And speaking of which, another thing that I really do appreciate is you guys that take the time out to leave a review on iTunes. As I've said in the past, is the single most important thing you guys can do to help spread word of the podcast, that it's worth listening to, so that when other people are searching for a podcast to listen to, it adds that social proof that you really do get value from the episodes. So thank you to all of those past and present who have left reviews. I do appreciate it, as I've said. So this week got a little bit of lingering effects of the COVID that I got actually back in the last week of January. It's been a rough start to the 2022 year for me, unfortunately. With obviously COVID there too. But the month of January ended with having to put the family dog down, which wasn't that fun to go through after having the family dog for 15 years. But then that was followed a week later with, unfortunately, the death of my father, who got COVID as well and died from it. And I ultimately got COVID from him while visiting him in a care home and got COVID and I have still lingering effects now to this, almost the end of March here. So still have a little bit of just in the throat and stuff. Some phlegm or mucus or stuff that kind of builds up at times when I'm talking. But overall, like I say, it's been a bit of a rough start to the year. Hopefully the rest of the year starts to turn around. It's that time of year, as the title of this episode, Spring is in the air. It's that time of the year where most of us here in North America who are running lawn care businesses start to get really excited. Now, depending on where you're at, you may still be a month or so away from doing your first cuts and mowing and stuff. You may even be doing some last bits of salting and snow removal, depending on where you're at. But here on the West Coast, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, like I say, where it's usually mild for winters and stuff, and this year was about the same as most years, where we got just a few days of snow here and there, a couple of spatterings of snow. What we did have that was very interesting this year that I had never experienced before was a day where it snowed, and then it started to warm up and it started to melt. Especially on the roads and stuff. So on the lawns and things like that, the snow usually will stay a lot longer. But on the roads, it starts to melt pretty quickly. But then it went immediately into a deep freeze. And the entire road was a sheet of ice, like literally a sheet of ice. Now, I've seen obviously roads and it's slippery and you have black ice and stuff like that, but this was literally a sheet of ice. Like if you were to throw a rock or something, which I was doing at times down the street, it just like kept going and going and going, just sliding on the surface. It was so slick. And I was taking like a shovel and breaking it against the ground, sort of hitting the ground with the end of the tip of the shovel so that it would crack the ice. And then you could literally peel off this like almost quarter inch layer thick sheet of ice that was covering the road. It just dawned on me now that I could have probably put some ice skates on and skated around my cul-de-sac. I didn't even think about that till right now, but it was literally like that much ice on the road, and I had never seen that before. It was so surreal to see that type of ice, where it was just sort of that thawing out of the snow that originally hit, but then went into the temperature changes just so quick, and went into a freeze as well. So just really was an interesting part in terms of the weather that we had here a little bit throughout that winter. So here right now, traditionally, we've got some rain happening. I'm getting ready for my first cuts of the season. In fact, that the day that this episode comes out, that you guys are all listening to this episode, should be my very first day, hopefully. I've got it on the schedule to get out and do my first cuts. I was hoping to actually get started last week doing my first cuts, but we had this rainstorm come through. The rain has been very heavy at times through the past fall, and has continued here in the spring. And last week we had some days where it'd be like heavy rain happening, and then the sun would peek out just like in the afternoon for a little bit, then it would start raining again. And I could hear a mower or two happening in the background just from like neighbors who were just starting to get out and mow their lawns and get some things happening in that regard. And it was, getting that, trying to control that itch of wanting to get out there as well. But, I walked out there, I went on my lawn, went on my own front lawn, went on my own back lawn, and it was just so wet, so saturated with water, just because of the amount of rain that we had at times. So I didn't want to go out and risk, like I was walking on my own lawn and you could just hear the water squishing up with every footstep that you were taking. So I was like, it's been raining so heavy for the last, week or so. So I just don't want to, get out there doing my very first cuts of the year on customers' properties that are just so saturated and all that. And then, of course, the first cuts of the year that I do, I am also doing all my edging and all that, recutting, with just a stick edger, just getting all those edges all nicely defined again for the season. Then the rest of the season, I usually maintain them with the string trimmer, but that very first cut of the year, I will add, I get out there with that edger, I do them all with the stick edger. And I'll add like an additional little, surcharge to each person's bill that I'm doing the edging for. I just charge them the one time per year to do that very first cut. It just basically covers the cost of, blades and stuff like that, because you do go through blades quite quickly with just a regular sort of stick edger or like a walk behind edger, just using, steel blades and stuff, because you're, going right into the ground against the concrete sidewalks and stuff like that. The blades don't tend to last, so I will charge people for that. But when I'm doing it, maintaining it weekly and using just my string trimmer, I don't add any additional charges for using the string trimmer to keep those edges maintained. So, I thought, with all the rain that's happening, it's just going to be, a bit of a mess to get out there and try to edge properties that I've been, saturated and stuff all winter. from the bit of snow, but mostly just the heavy rain that we've had all winter time. Back in the fall, after the mowing was done, if you guys follow me on Instagram and stuff, you would have saw that we just had some just crazy, crazy rain happening, just massive flooding and stuff happening in towns and things. There was areas that, like a park that's near my house, that is, I'm not sure what the exact term is, if it's like a rain basin or, I forgot what they're called, like a storm overflow or something like that. Basically, there's some parks and stuff, some green areas where there's this depression that's built into it. And I guess it handles like the overflow of, the street, drain systems. So when all the water and stuff from all the houses and the roofs and all the gutters and all that stuff flow down to the street, then they go through the storm drains and stuff that are on the sides. If I guess those drains get too full, they have an outlet there in each neighborhood. So each neighborhood has these little parks or green spaces that have this sort of outlet. And in the 12 years or so that I've lived in this particular neighborhood, I've seen a little bit of water in those little drains and stuff, those areas. In fact, in the winter time, just to give you guys some perspective, one of these ones is so steep, just the way that the natural sort of land kind of is and stuff, that when it snows, when we do get those days of snow, it's like the hot spot for all of the kids in the neighborhood to go sledding and tubing and stuff down, because it's just this perfect hill that is nice, has a good steep little slope to it, and it's quite quite a big little hill, if you could kind of imagine that. So you get a good ride going down on a sled and stuff, and my kids have personally had like a ton of fun with that. And this past fall, when we had those crazy days of rain, I drove by just to look at it because I knew it was one of those sort of catch basins. So I was kind of curious, and it was full to the top. And we're talking, the center of this depression has to be at least 12 feet deep. I kid you not, you could literally set up a diving board and dive into the middle of this with the amount of water that was completely full. It was, right to the top. So it was just insanity, the amount of rain that we had there in the fall. And, obviously it didn't rain forever. It stopped and the waters receded and all that sort of stuff. But there, it just continued and continued here and there. Just the pattern of rain. It just seems, a lot heavier. I just don't remember it being so wet. It's always rained here. It's the Pacific Northwest. It's what we're known for is the rain. But just the amount, just how heavy it has been in the past year when it's raining. It's just like, just always seems to be really, really heavy rain. So, this past week I was, into that pattern again of just the heavy rain. And I was like, I just don't want to start the season off with that. Give me some sunshine and blue skies, please. It's been a bit of a depressing fall and off season for me with sort of the events in the family and all that sort of stuff. Just give me some sunshine to get out there and do my first cuts and mows and, get me out there excited about mowing lawns and all that sort of stuff. So it's one of those things. So hopefully the forecast is showing that the weather, it's not going to be all butterflies and rainbows in this coming week, but as long as the rain holds off, I should be good to get out there and do first cuts. I've had customers already calling and mainly emailing and asking when I'm coming by and making sure that they got that I got their emails after I sent my email out to all my customers saying if there's any changes to the schedule or anything like that, or if you're canceling service, all that sort of stuff. I usually send that on the first week of February. I'll send that email out saying basically let me know by the 1st of March if you want to cancel, and that service will automatically continue and start up for you, and I will do, you know, everything that I did for you the past season. So like if you're a customer that did like regular mowing, weekly service, all that sort of stuff, then that's how I would just pick up and continue doing that. If you had fertilizers and aerations and all that stuff, that's what I would do. And if you were a client that was on that, where I don't do mowing, but I just do all that other stuff for you, all of the, you know, fertilizers, moss control, aerations, all that sort of stuff, then that would continue as well. Basically, my philosophy when it comes to, lawn care and my clients is, just making it super simple for them, making it so that they don't have to deal with or worry or anything like that. The only time they have to do anything is if they ever want to cancel service. So if they ever want to cancel service, that's the only time they need to contact me, you know, if they want. And I have customers where that is the case, where it's just I never talk to them. I never see them. I never talk to them. The only time I sort of interact is every couple of years. I'll send them an email when their credit card that I have on file expires for them, and they'll give me a new credit card number. But for the most part, you know, you have that sort of subset of customers that just don't want to interact. They just don't want to deal with anything, or you know, they just have no interest in that sort of relationship sort of thing. They're completely content, obviously, with the work I'm doing, because I wouldn't be servicing the property for so many years after years. But they're just, you know, are busy and don't have time to chit chat and things like that. And then, of course, you have that other subset of clients where they really enjoy coming out and saying hi and chatting and all that sort of stuff as well. So there's that that bit of a mix. But I try to keep it super simple regardless of what that customer prefers in terms of communication or the amount of communication or lack thereof, or whatever it is that they prefer to get done, and just, you know, kind of tailor it to that. If they're into chatting and stuff like that, I'm more than willing to sit there and chat with them. But if they're not, and they, you know, really want it to, you know, keep it to a minimum. And I do have customers like that, like I said, one in particular that comes to mind where they are very, very private. I consider it actually part of my service that I just don't bother them, so to speak. I just kind of tread lightly. I show up each week. I've been mowing this particular property for, oh, you know what? It was one of the very first ones that I started when I left the franchise company and I moved to a different area and built my own brand. So it's, you know, that was 2010, 2011. It's now 2021. So I've been mowing their lawn since then, like 10, 12 years, something like that. And I think literally, I have spoken to this customer like face to face, interacted with them in 12 years. I'm going to say three times. That is it. I've interacted with them more than that, of course, over email, originally with a quote. And like I say, every couple of years, year and a half, 2 years, that sort of thing, I'm going to say, I contact them and just say, hey, your, you know, credit card got declined. It looks like your, you know, expired credit card number or the expiry date or whatever, right? And they get back to me right away with a new credit card number. And that's it. Then I go on for another couple of years, just mowing their lawn each week. And that's it. I rarely ever see them, occasionally. Out of the corner of my eye, I'll see them when I'm there mowing, kind of sneak across the lawn and, you know, go to their car that's parked on the street and leave. And that's it. That's like there's no real interaction with them. And it's been like 10 or 12 years like that. So with that particular customer, like I said, I actually consider it part of my service, that I just leave them alone. I don't knock on the door. I don't, do any of that. I just bill their credit card. The only time I interact is if that credit card is indeed at some time, expired or something like that, then I just let them know and ask them for a new credit card number. But, I got to get the gist or, get the drift that that's what they want. They're just a very private people. There's a husband, a wife, and a kid, and they're all kind of like that. They just don't want to interact. They don't say hi. They don't do any of that sort of stuff. So I just, that's what they like. That's what I'll give them. And then, of course, you have the flip side of that, where you have customers who come out each and every week, and they want to chat, and you might spend 10 minutes talking to that customer each week about all sorts of stuff. And I enjoy that part too. So it does. I know it bothers a lot of guys because time is money, and they want to get on with it. And of course, you can't do it all the time with every customer like that, because by the end of the day, that 10 minutes here and there, can add up to quite a bit of a lost time that you're not getting paid for. But, like I say, I don't mind it too much, and it's not every customer that does it. It's a handful of customers that do it. And, we'll just chat and try to keep it brief, if I can. And sometimes, if I can't, then I just let them know, hey, today I gotta, get to it. I'm running behind, or whatever the case may be. And, they're cool with that, as well. Cause they can obviously see that, normally I'm, completely fine with sitting there and chatting with them. So, there's a big mix. And like I said, so a bunch of those customers have been getting back to me and letting me know of projects or things that they want me to handle, actually more than I'm really willing to want to do this year in terms of, other projects outside of mowing. I'm starting to, I've mentioned before, as I get older and stuff in this business, that, it's just one of those things, right? Your body can't keep up to the pace that it used to. I just prefer, as I go along, I just prefer to stick to more and more just mowing and lawn related stuff. So I don't mind doing like aerations and fertilizers and all that stuff, but that's enough already to keep me busy enough with all of the regular clients, maintaining all those properties, with all the sort of lawn stuff. So if a customer throws a project at me that, in the past years, I may have been more willing to, take on, more like sort of landscaping projects and things like that, it's, I'm not so willing anymore to do that sort of stuff. And that's just me. Some guys like to go in the other direction. They like to leave the mowing stuff behind and sort of transition into landscaping jobs, especially in the sort of climate that we're in terms of, pricing, and just the cost of fuel and all that sort of stuff. Landscaping jobs can be quite a bit more profitable than mowing. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well for this year. Some of the plans and stuff that I have, what I'm thinking I'm going to do for this season with all that stuff. So before we get into that, let's just take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. So stay tuned.
At Exmark, we've poured decades of leading-edge engineering and old-fashioned work ethic into our Laser Z, the pioneering commercial zero-turn rider more landscape pros trust. So now you can experience cut quality, performance, comfort, durability, and reliability beyond your wildest dreams. Stop by your local dealer or visit Exmark.com to experience an Exmark Laser Z and the attractive financing offers available now.
Hey, Lawn Care Nation, want to kickstart your lawn care business in the right direction? Introducing the Lawn Care Business Success Academy and the How to Price Lawns Profitably course. Save yourself the time and headaches of trying to figure out how to price lawn mowing jobs properly on your own. Learn about knowing your numbers and how to set a profitable hourly rate in 5 steps. Discover the 5 things to consider before quoting a lawn. What to look for when you're out in the field. how to spot red flags, and what questions to ask prospective clients. Then learn how to put it all together and the best way to present a quote. So if you're ready to get your business on the road to profitability, then head over to LawnCareBusinessSuccessAcademy.com.
All right. So in this episode, I want to take the opportunity. I've been doing a lot of those interview episodes over the past winter and stuff. So wanted to take this opportunity. It's been a while since I've been able to just sit and do a solo episode and just sort of chat with you guys, what's going on and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, before the break there, I was talking about sort of the beginning, the season kind of getting started, ramping up. So I wanted to talk a bit about my plans for this season. And what I'm going to do. Of course, as all of you guys are probably aware of, if you haven't been living under a rock in terms of seeing sort of what's going on in the world with fuel prices and all that sort of stuff, if it's not one event that is affecting pricing of fuel, something else comes along to affect it, and it's just getting completely out of hand in terms of fuel prices. So I've talked about how, where I live, you guys have heard me talk all the time about real estate prices and stuff, how it's just one of the most expensive places to actually live here in North America. And now with the prices of fuel, it's gone to just areas I have never, ever imagined I would be paying for fuel with these types of prices. So just to give you a perspective, this week, here towards the end of March, March the 20th that I'm recording this, 2022, and the price of diesel. You guys know I've got my 2005 GMC Sierra 2500 HD with the 6.6 liter Duramax diesel. That's what I run as the vehicle for my lawn care business. I would say on average, and of course here I am in Canada, so fuel here is sold by the liter, not by the gallon, but I'll try to do some conversions for you guys just to kind of make it a little bit easier to understand. So I would say by last year, the average price I was paying for, say, diesel fuel for the truck was about $1.46 per liter. That translates into, let me just do some quick math here, that's about $5.51 a gallon in Canadian dollars, which would be $5.51 is about $4.37 a gallon in US dollars. So, that's already, pretty expensive fuel. But now this year, so I'm talking about last year, $1.46-ish per liter. This year, currently, the last time I filled up my truck, it was $2.50 per liter of diesel fuel, which translates into $9.45 a gallon in Canadian dollars. And after the currency conversion, about $7.50 US per gallon of diesel. Outrageous. Just crazy. Outrageous. I had at one point, and it wasn't even at $2 yet, I think it was $1.80 at one point, where I filled up. I had a quarter of a tank in my truck, and I put $125, and it didn't even fill from the quarter I already had. It didn't, the pump didn't stop. It went too full. The needle went to full, but it didn't stop. The pump didn't stop. It probably could have went a few more bucks to fill up. So just crazy. And currently for regular fuel, for just your 87 octane regular gas, it's averaging. So last year it was about $1.76 per liter. on average, $1.76, $1.77, that sort of thing, to run the machines this year. Right now, currently, it's averaging about $2 per liter Canadian, which is $7.56 a gallon Canadian, which translates to about $6 US per gallon. So it is crazy, the fuel prices, and it just does not stop. You see all the memes on the internet, on Instagram, about the fuel prices and all that stuff, and it is just ludicrous, the price of fuel. So I feel for all of you guys. I've seen literally some guys, I actually saw a company on Instagram post that apologizing to their regular clients, but that they are no longer doing lawn service this year because of the price of fuel. I think that's a bit extreme because, you know, personally, those clients, you know, you may get a couple of clients that can no longer afford to do service. And you know, this person's post just basically said, you know, after crunching the numbers and all that sort of stuff, you know, they can't make it work. And, you know, that seemed a little premature to say, because obviously it was already a few weeks ago. So I was like, well, you're probably not cutting lawns yet. I think you're kind of making the decision on your own, that customers won't pay the prices that you need them to pay, without actually talking to them. You know, and I could be wrong. Maybe they did reach out to all their clients and stuff, but the fact that they're apologizing, and saying that they are no longer doing lawn service because, you know, they were crunching the numbers and they couldn't make it work, kind of leads me to believe that they hadn't talked to their customers about it. Because, you know, regardless of whether you are canceling your service because of those fuel prices, somebody else is going to step in and mow those lawns. And they're having to pay those, the same, you know, increases in fuel and stuff like that. And they're going to be quoting those customers, you know, from the start. So those customers are going to have to pay those increases. Of course, there's the chance that the person mowing the lawn or the company mowing the lawn is starting out this year. They don't know what they're doing or how to price lawns or what their costs are and that sort of stuff. And they're just going to lowball prices and stuff like that and make no money, especially this year, with the cost of fuel. They'll have a very rude awakening when they learn how, you know, very little they've made in profit this year if they're not pricing those lawns profitably. But it's just one of those, things. Like, you have to keep grinding it out. You got to keep doing it, and you know, it's just those. The customers have no choice, and I found so far, even last year, before it, you know, it getting into sort of this very craziness, even last year, it was already, you know, expensive, as I was mentioning there earlier. And I already had customers telling me that, you know, if you have to raise your prices, like, I literally had customers telling me, if you have to raise your prices, don't worry about it. Just raise your prices. You have to make money, right? They were sort of trying to reassure me not to feel bad that I may have to raise prices on them, that they understood. And, you know, talking to some of the other guys as well, in my area, talking to my brother-in-law, who, as a lot of you guys know, also does lawn care and stuff, you know, he's chatted with all of his customers about price increases as well this year. And he said with his as well that they all just took it, you know, they didn't even bat an eye at it, that he was raising prices. They all expected it. And that's the thing, right? Like you said, you have to be living under a rock to not expect that your service providers are going to raise prices. Because, you know, every day on the news, when I flip, you know, channels on TV to watch the news and all that sort of stuff, that's all they're talking about, besides obviously all of the craziness that's happening in the world. You know, it's, you know, the price of inflation, it's the price of food going up, it's the price of fuel, it's the prices of real estate, it's, you know, it's just bombarding you with, you know, the costs are going up, costs are going up, costs are going up. And, you know, what are you going to do? You have to keep working. You have to keep, you can't just pack it in. What else, you know, that sort of thing. You can't just, like, you know, pack up and quit. You have to keep going. And, you know, a lot of customers, you know, like I said, you probably may get customers if you're raising prices this year because of fuel costs and all that stuff that, you know, just can't afford it and will have to find alternative means to mow their lawns and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, that's going to be the case. But you're going to have those other customers that they're not even going to bat an eye. They're expecting it and they understand. Obviously, you can't go if you're, you know, we talk all about, and it doesn't matter what podcast you listen to, whether you listen to my podcast or, you know, Brian's podcast or Paul's podcast, whoever you're listening to on a podcast, they're going to say the same thing over and over again. You're going to hear it, you know, hammered into your brain, and that's knowing your numbers, knowing your numbers, knowing your numbers. So what is knowing your numbers? It's knowing what it costs you to be in business. What does it cost you to get out of bed in the morning and go out the door? Get in your truck that's pulling your trailer that's full of all the equipment that you had to pay for. That's, you know, you have to go to the gas station and fill all that, and you have to have insurance and all that, and insurance on your vehicle and your cell phone bills and all that stuff. What are all those accumulative costs of you providing the service that you do before you even make a dollar profit? So that is essentially, in a nutshell, knowing your numbers. And you've heard there in sort of the podcast ads, my Lawn Care Business Success Academy, I do have that course on knowing your numbers, how to price lawns profitably. Knowing your numbers is a part of that, that I sort of explain in more detail on how to figure out your profitable hourly rate for your business to know how to price jobs profitably. So if you're interested, you can check that out on my website, lawncarebusinesssuccess.com. But, you know, you're going to hear that hammered in all the time, regardless of whether what podcast. So if you know your numbers and you're basing your prices on that to be profitable, you know, last year. So how can you then take those same prices? You're mowing a lawn for, you know, say $40. You're going to go and mow a lawn based on, you know, your pricing last year, and you're paying, you know, in my case, say $1.40 a liter for diesel, and $1.70 or 77 for gasoline to run those mowers. And that's what I was basing my prices on, because that was sort of the average fuel prices. You're going to get fluctuations, of course. But, you know, over time, roughly, it's usually about the same throughout that year. You get those jumps and things, you know, in the summer and things like that, when they're switching from like summer blend fuels to winter blend fuels and all that sort of stuff. You get little fluctuations and things like that. But it usually settles kind of back down. So you're pricing your jobs based on, you know, all those fixed costs you have, cell phone bills and all that sort of stuff, and then that fuel and all that that you're going through. So, you know, if you were profitable last year mowing those jobs, how can you then go this year and justify mowing those lawns again at the same price? I know it's tough to mow those customer properties or raise prices on those customer properties. You're always afraid of losing customers and all that sort of stuff. But if you're now paying from, you know, $1.70 a liter for gasoline, regular gas, you know, or and going to like, you know, $2 a liter for your gas, for your mowers and stuff, and going from $1.40 a liter for diesel to $2.50 a liter for diesel, that's cutting into those profits. You may not be profitable anymore. You may now be, you know, completely unprofitable if you go and do all those customer properties at those prices from last year. So how do you handle that? So you're going to have to decide it. And it's very tricky because there's so much unknown in the world. Are prices going to continue to go up? Are the conflicts that we currently see in Europe happening, are they going to escalate and get worse? Is it going to lead to some, you know, major global problem, you know, that you don't even want to think about at the moment. What's that going to lead to is, you know, in terms of pricing. So this year is going to be a very challenging year in terms of pricing because, of course, a lot of the pricing that we see right now with fuel is tied to that particular conflict in Europe because of the control and sanctions and all that sort of stuff that we see happening. So a whole bunch of stuff that as a normal lawn care service provider, you know, you normally wouldn't have to be dealing with any of this stuff. Just when we thought, you know, the past year or two with coronavirus and all that sort of stuff was enough to handle dealing with regulations and policies and all that sort of stuff, to now have to go into this, it just seems just like one thing after another. So you have a couple of sort of trains of thought that you can do here. A lot of it is just sort of trying to make future projections of what you think costs will be. Will they sort of settle out? And that's why, you know, I like listening to or watching the news and that sort of stuff. I know a lot of news you get, a lot of it's sort of negative and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, when it comes to this sort of stuff, it's good because you can hear they'll always have sort of experts on, market analysts and things like that, people that know a lot more than you may know about things like that, the markets and fuels and things like that. And you can sort of get some glimpses into what, you know, projections or those, you know, quote unquote experts are thinking is going to happen. And that might help you to sort of make a more, you know, educated guess, because that's all you can do is make an educated guess as to what you think fuel prices are going to be and sort of, you know, project. Obviously, you're going to have to raise your prices to what, you know, your, you know, sort of that difference in fuel costs and things like that are right now. But like I said, I don't see currently any sort of end in sight to pricing. And right now it's, you know, like through the roof. And traditionally, you know, in the summertime, prices are traditionally a lot higher than in the spring because of sort of that summer driving season, people going on road trips, all that sort of stuff. So I anticipate that if the prices don't go lower than they are right now, and we get to, you know, summertime, that you're going to see, you know, another large increase because that's traditionally that sort of time of year when prices do go up. So it's one of those things that you have to sort of just make those projections. And there's a couple of ways of doing this. You can either decide that you're going to do a fixed price increase across the board for all of your customers, whether it's like adding, you know, $2 a cut or $5 a cut or $10 a cut, whatever the case may be. It obviously depends on the size properties you're maintaining and the costs and all that sort of stuff. But you could do it that way where you're just, you know, doing a fixed cost. You could do it as just a surcharge. A lot of businesses are doing that where they just add a surcharge and say, you know what, the price, you know, we can base the price on last year. So, you know, if I was mowing your lawn for $40 last year, you know, based on that sort of that projection of pricing for fuel and stuff, that sort of, you know, it bounced around. Like I mentioned earlier, it went up higher, went down lower throughout the season, but generally it was sort of in that window. So you have that sort of in the back of your head of what it was and say, well, now that it's sort of out of this sort of extreme level, it's past that sort of high point that, you know, there's going to be a fuel surcharge added. And you could do it that way and just say, hey, you know, your price is this much. It's still the same as last year. You might have an increase for inflation and all that sort of stuff, but then have sort of a fuel surcharge after a certain point and say, you know what, once all this sort of craziness ends, then, you know, that fuel surcharge will go away. If the price of fuel goes back down to sort of what it was last year's levels at this time, then, you know, that fuel surcharge goes away and then you're back to, just paying your regular sort of lawn care rate that you did last year. But of course, like I said, you should be adding some sort of a inflation sort of increase or that sort of stuff anyways. So, you know, it's not going to be the exact same price as last year. But you sort of get the drift, right? The other option is to, you know, as I was chatting to my brother-in-law and he was saying with one of the customers, he was telling them that, you know, he would have to raise the price $5 per cut this year. And they said, $5, that's it? I was expecting $10. And he said, okay, well, $5 for now, he said. Because you just never know. Like, if the prices continue, and that's what makes this right now, everything so volatile, is that how do you price customers based on that? You really need to kind of add that sort of buffer to your prices, particularly with new clients and that stuff as well, to just ensure that you have that sort of, you know, bit of time, bit of fluctuation built in, padding built into your pricing, so that if you do see those fluctuations go up higher, that you're still going to be profitable. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what running a lawn care business is all about. Profit is not a bad thing. You know, you need to be profitable. You can't just go through this whole scenario, through this whole exercise of starting a lawn care business, investing in all the equipment, buying a truck and trailer, and all that sort of stuff, to go, you know, through the years, year after year, and just be breaking even. You know, hopefully you're not, you know, losing money, but, you know, breaking even is just as bad, because you're just not getting anywhere in life. You're constantly going to be under that fear of paying the bills, of worrying about taking on more debt, of not being able to, you know, do things like vacations and all that sort of stuff, right? And how you get out of that is with profit, is having your businesses and your services for your business priced profitably, so that not only does those jobs at the end of the day, because you have to remember, there's so much unpaid time when you're a lawn care business, you know, a lawn entrepreneur. You know, all that time when you're sitting around doing bookkeeping, all that time when you're driving around doing quotes, all that time when you're doing all the maintenance on your equipment and all that sort of stuff, that's all unpaid time. So, you know, those jobs, when you're out there actually mowing and making money, those jobs have to pay for all that time. Otherwise, it's not worth it. You know, what job would you go to if, you know, you weren't self-employed and, you know, the business owner said, you know, come to work for me and, you know, I need you to do this particular task, right? You're going to be, say, let's use a factory setting for an example. Or anything, for example, say you're working at a restaurant, say you're working at a donut shop or whatever the case may be, or McDonald's, anything, you know, we can use any sort of example. So let's use McDonald's for an example. Say you're getting a job at McDonald's and, you know, the manager at McDonald's says, okay, here's your job. You're going to get paid this much per hour. So every time you are, you know, at the register and you're taking customer orders, and then you're making their burgers and you're making their fries and all that stuff, you get paid this much. But, you know, when there's no customers in the restaurant and you're cleaning tables and you're mopping the floor and you're cleaning the grease out of the fry baskets and you're, you know, doing all the sort of general sort of, you know, maintenance and cleaning, well, you don't get paid nothing for that, because I don't make any money for that, right? If customers aren't in the restaurant, I'm not getting paid, so I can't pay you. How many of you would take a job like that? Nobody, right? So that's the thing. When those customers are in that restaurant and they're paying for burgers and fries, that has to pay for all of the times when there's customers not in that restaurant. And it's the same with your lawn care business. When, you know, you're not mowing lawns, those times of the year, that you're not mowing lawns, where you're doing maintenance, where you're doing estimates, where you're doing paperwork, where you're doing all that sort of stuff, you know, that those times where you're doing work have to pay you for that other time that you're putting in your business. So it's very important to price your lawns profitably. And this year is going to be quite the challenge for a lot of you guys, especially I don't envy, anybody who's just starting out this year. It's going to be, quite frankly, a very big challenge for you. It's hard enough in a normal year when you're starting a lawn care business. And, you know, I speak from experience. I've interviewed so many people on my podcast that I sure, you know, a lot of you guys listening have listened to, and it's the same story. You kind of just go through it in your first few years of not knowing what you're doing, how to price jobs, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's tough enough to get through that in those first few years and, you know, just trying to figure it all out. And so this year you throw in the volatility of all the pricing and fuel, especially of materials. I haven't gone out to my supplier yet for grass seed and fertilizers and all that sort of stuff. My brother-in-law has already. He kind of got a jump start on that, and he was telling me, he was giving me the heads up, like basically saying, like, brace yourself for the price increases on materials. He said was crazy because everything is tied to fuel. All the the trucks and stuff that deliver all that are running off of fuel. And diesel and all that sort of stuff. So those costs are all being passed down. If those, trucking companies have to pay more for fuel to move those pallets of fertilizer and stuff, they're going to pass that along to, the company that is trying to sell that fertilizer. That company is going to pass those costs on to the store or supplier who then stocks that fertilizer to sell, who's going to pass those costs on to you, the lawn care service provider who's buying those materials to put down on your customer properties. And you are ultimately going to be passing on those costs increases onto your clients to pay for that, because you simply cannot do that. And I'll give you an example. Like my brother-in-law was saying, he went to buy a bag of grass seed, and he was saying, how much do we normally pay for a bag of grass seed? And, I was, thinking in my head, it was about, depending on the type of grass seed and stuff, on average, these are pretty massive bags of grass seed. But on average, it was about $130 for good quality grass seed bag. And he's like, $250 this year from $130 last year. That is crazy. And it all has to do with those fuel costs and all that sort of stuff. And he was then going sort of down the list of, how much the cost of fertilizer is this year, and how much for bags of lime and moss control and all that sort of stuff, how everything just went up just dramatically, in that, all that has to be considered when you're doing those jobs for clients that, and it's going to be a challenge, because obviously in a lot of cases, you want to be able to figure that out. So I would suggest, if you haven't already, if you're in an area where you're, you haven't gotten started yet and all that sort of stuff, is to start phoning around now, find out what all those costs and prices are going to be for all those materials you would normally use, and figure out your pricing for this year. Cause you're going to obviously want to give customers a heads up. With things like mowing and stuff, they may not have a choice. With the price of fuel and stuff, they're expecting and stuff, but they may, decide that they want to hold off on fertilizers and stuff, that it's just, too expensive to get in and do that sort of stuff with all of the price increases. It really just, depends on the clients, but obviously you don't want to be just showing up and doing stuff and then going, oh yeah, it was this much, and not telling them, or, having them sort of give them a heads up of that, there is going to be price increases and stuff. So, a lot of volatility this year. And like I said, I just do not, you know, envy anybody starting out this year. It's going to be quite the challenge for you guys. So hopefully you guys can figure it out. It's going to be a tough year with the pricing, because even right now, basing, you know, your prices on lawns and stuff right now, with that volatility, you know, it's the same issue that I have with credit card companies that charge, I'm talking about like the merchant companies that charge, you know, different prices based on credit cards, like on the reward cards that you may be charging customers. I talk about how, you know, with one of the last merchant companies that I used to use, that, you know, they would have a different processing fee. So they have, you know, the percentage or whatever that they would take, but then there would also be a processing fee per transaction. So if I charge somebody's credit card, it, you know, typically be, you know, whatever the percentage is of the total plus, you know, it could be a 50 cent or a 30 cent transaction fee for doing that transaction. But depending on the credit card, you know, if somebody had some fancy schmancy rewards card that gave them air miles and all these, you know, crazy reward, you know, some platinum diamond encrusted card, how do you think those rewards are accumulated? You know, it's not the credit card company that is paying out those rewards. They're actually charging the merchant who's charging those credit cards extra fees to be able to then reward those customers with those extra fancy features. Now, the problem with that is, as a merchant, when you are, you know, the lawn care guy, and say you go out and you're doing like a $30 lawn mowing, and somebody gives you a credit card, and if it's just a regular credit card, you know, you might get charged, you know, a 50 cent transaction fee and then the percentage. But if somebody gives you the fancy schmancy card, there's not really a way of you knowing what that credit card company is going to charge. And this is something I ran into with, you know, this particular company that I used in the past. And, you know, they'd have, you know, I remember doing like a customer, a one-time mowing, for example, where it was like a $30 mow. This was like years when I first started. And the customer gave me this fancy smanchy card. You know, I'm not thinking anything of it. I'm thinking, okay, credit card is a credit card. And it was only at the end of the month when I got the bill from the credit card transaction fees that, you know, I learned that that particular credit card, if somebody gives me one of those, the transaction fee, I'm still paying whatever the, you know, the same percentage. So whether it was 2.75 or 3% or whatever the, you know, that was at the time for that credit card, for, you know, getting credit cards transaction, but the actual, you know, little transaction fee that goes with it on a traditional card that was like, you know, 50 cents or 30 cents, this one was $10. $10 just to run that credit card through, plus the percentage on top of that. And why was it? Because it was the fancy smashy card. And that's how that credit card company is able to then give all those perks and rewards to that person using that credit card. So it was like, how do I charge on a $30 mow if I'm doing a quote for somebody, for them to, you know, you're saying it's going to be this much, and then they give you a credit card after, and you run it through, and then you get charged $10 for doing a transaction. So you've just lost a third of the job just to pay for the transaction fee, never mind the percentage on top of that. So, you know, it's that same sort of scenario, you know, that I see this year with the fuel prices, that it's just so volatile that you can't tell in advance. So, you know, even going to customer properties in the beginning of this year and quoting prices, it's very difficult to do because the prices are so high right now to start with, but you don't know where they're going to end. So it's hard to quote somebody right now without sort of having that sort of padding built in just in case, or at least a policy of fuel surcharges in place to say, you know what, right now your price, if I'm quoting you today, based on, you know, today's pricing and stuff, is going to be this much. But, you know, for, you know, say for example, for me, gas is, like I said, $2 or, $2.50 for diesel. So you could say, you know, $2, you know, based on the price, if gas hits $2.30, or $2.20 or whatever the case may be, $2.15, then there's a surcharge. And then if it hits, you know, $2.30, then there's, you know, the surcharge goes up, that sort of stuff, right? So there's a base price for your mowing and then fuel surcharges that are incremental based on, future projections of how high fuel prices may go. And you could do that per mow, you could do that per month, whatever the case may be, whatever you decide and you're comfortable with. But that's just some ideas to play around with, in terms of some thoughts on pricing for your lawns. So hopefully that helps you guys out. I enjoyed being able to just sit here in a solo type of situation, being able to just pass some time chatting with you guys about the past events of the past month and the craziness of what's going on in terms of pricing and that sort of stuff goes for this coming season. I'm also planning this year to dabble with and really get into using some battery-powered equipment. Right now, with the Milwaukee stuff that I've had, you guys know I love my Milwaukee hedge trimmers. I'm going to plan on doing some really serious long-term tests with the string trimmers and using those and seeing how that can help with sort of that volatility, if it is worth using sort of long-term. And I'll keep you guys posted with that as the season unfolds. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.